Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hey, creepies, welcome to Middle-Aged Mini 178. Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Good evening, fellas.
How bad do you want to say, hey, queepies, like, and do the Mike Tyson thing to start with sometimes?
No.
Never?
He listens.
He does listen, and he might kill us all.
Yeah. So
I don't. Not if we pay him really, really well, he won't.
Yeah, we don't have the zeros that he wants.
Exactly right.
Anyway, moving on.
I love Mike Tyson.
Nate, how are you?
I'm good.
Good, good.
Yay.
And Sean, you're doing all right?
I am.
A little wound
poking,
up here.
Poking a little fun at Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Not too much.
No, I'm not going to say queepy.
Queepy.
Don't poke Mike.
No, we used to always do imitation in high school. Oh, my gosh. I'm a warrior with a Bible. He used to always say that when he was young. I'm a warrior.
He's a warrior. He's a generational hero, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said. There goes my hero, right?
Yeah. I had a Mike Tyson mask back in the 90s when he was in jail.
Did you?
I bought it, yeah. $50, man, back in 91. Yeah, that's a lot of money but today for a Halloween mask, yeah.
He lived in town with us.
Yeah, yeah, for a couple of years, 2-3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was that long, 3 years. A couple of years, remember. Anyway, he did his time. So anyway, hey, creepies, thanks for joining us for a middle-aged mini 178. We are approaching 200. We're going to get there in 22 more episodes. Let's get right to it. Sean.
Yes.
What are we going to discuss tonight on this mini?
Apparently, this is my night because this is my pick yet again. We are going to talk about haunted Vikings. And if interested, please go check our show notes for the source links we used for this topic.
Nice.
You like that?
You have a little foundation on what a Viking is.
Vikings?
Not the Minnesota Viking football player.
Shoot. I'll switch gears real quick. So Vikings were seafaring people originally from Scandinavia, present-day Denmark, Norway, and Sweden, who, from the late 8th to the late 11th centuries, raided, pirated, traded, and settled throughout parts of Europe. They also voyaged as far as the Mediterranean, North Africa, the Middle East, Greenland, and Vinland, which is present-day Newfoundland in Canada, North America. In their countries of origin and some of the countries they raided and settled in, this period is popularly known as the Viking Age. And the term Viking also commonly includes the inhabitants of the Scandinavian homelands as a whole. The Vikings had a profound impact on the early medieval history of Scandinavia, the British Isles, France, Estonia, and something that sounds made up. Kievan Rus. Is that just Kevin Ross? Kievan Rus is what it says. It's K-I-E-V-A-N-R-U-S with an apostrophe.
Yes.
You see that? That's Kievan Rus, right?
Kevin, yeah, Kevin Rus.
Kevin Rus. That's what it looks like. That's got to be some. I don't know what that is.
Oh, man. It made me genuinely laugh. Oh, that's awesome.
So one thing the Vikings are known for, besides conquering and pillaging and all that good stuff, they were expert sailors and navigators. They had those long ships, and those are some of the best ships that were made throughout history. And they could withstand quite a bit of damage and storms and all kind of stuff. So they were pretty crafty.
Nice.
We'll say that. Those the Rus people.
The Rus people. The Russes.
Something.
Well, thank you for that wonderful foundation.
You like that? It gave us a little chuckle, right?
Yeah, it did. It did. So who wants to start? Who's got a Viking story? If not, I've got one. But Nate, you got one?
I have Scandinavian roots haunting 700-year-old Norse burial grounds near Denmark's. I'm not very good at this language, but Appalling Aalborg?
Oh, yeah, that's the Appalling Aalborg.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just
apparently, obviously, it's haunted. I'm just going to talk about why it's haunted. Beneath the feet are the ancient graves of almost 700 Vikings buried in this area.
Hmm.
So some large, or some marked with large stones set in patterns like boats. This hill called Lindholm. I'll just say Hoy.
Hoy.
Hoy, back to you. Hoy, how you doing?
H-O-J-E. I don't know.
H-O-J-E, yeah.
Yeah, my...
That's the old Hoji.
Yeah, the Hoji.
I don't.
It is the largest known Viking burial ground, resting place for the seafaring warriors who died between the 5th and 11th century.
Hmm.
Let's see. They said that some archaeologists excavated the settlement and graveyard there between 1952 and 1956, found few human remains. Most of the bodies were cremated, but many insights into the Viking culture. One grave contained both a crucifix and a Thor's hammer, a common pagan amulet. Evidence of the painful Norse tradition from the old gods to the new Christian religion between the 9th and the 11th century. Some graves held coins from as far away as Aruba or Arabia. Testaments to the immersed area the Vikings roamed. Others contain intricate weavings and delicate silver jewelry, reflecting Viking and artistry and appreciation for beauty. So yeah, they have ghosts.
Nice.
In this large, huge Viking graveyard.
I'm going to admit, when you said haunted Vikings, I thought...
You're like, there's not going to be a dang thing out there.
How in the heck are we going to do an episode on haunted Vikings? But to your credit, there's a lot of information.
I actually did. Mm-hmm. I've learned from the past. I usually look at. Have you remember some of those? I've looked. You've been like, Sean, there's nothing.
Isn't this
here.
Actually? Didn't you miss something?
In
this
Jenna's.
Didn't Jenna come up with this? I do think yes.
I'm. Yeah, that's fair. I do believe she did say that.
This
back
is
then.
A long time ago. I think you said you were in the car, and she said, "Why don't you guys do haunted Vikings?"
Mm-hmm.
And when you said that, I thought haunted Vikings. That's
she did. So. Yeah. Well, what's interesting, and
you gotta give her credit now.
Sorry,
plus that's your wife, so
she's never gonna listen to this. You know that.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll tell her. I'm like, hey, we talked about you. She's like, yeah, I'm still not gonna listen to it. She might though. You never know. There is something that you missed out on, and we had a whole group of boys here, and this is so this goes back into Viking lore. And the interesting thing is that there's some ghostly stuff about it. There's almost like a zombie characteristics, but it's the Draugrs. You remember that
yes.
We did it? Yeah. I don't know if you listened to that episode because.
Yes, I did.
Because they died.
Yes,
I did. Boys. The Draugr.
No, that was really good.
It was. Yeah, well, it was, yeah. So this is interesting because there's so much on that.
Of right.
Course, we didn't cover. But so Old Norse, Draugr, Draugr, we went over all that before. So they're undead creatures from the sagas of the Scandinavian folktales. Draugrs live in their graves or royal palaces, often guarding treasure buried in their burial mounds. They are revenants or animated corpses rather than ghosts, although that's not necessarily true, which possess intangible spiritual bodies. It says the Draugr also referred to as a Barrow-wit in 1869 translation of the Grettir Saga, long before J.R.R. Tolkien employed his term to his novels. Though a Barrow-wit is actually a rendered Hogbúinn or Howe Dweller, otherwise translated to Barrow Dweller. I don't know. Anyway, so this also, there's other terms for it. So it does say that they are actually considered ghosts too. So it says ghosts with physical bodies. The Draugr is a corporeal ghost with a physical tangible body and not an imago, and in the tales is often delivered a second death by the destruction of the animated corpse. They can be vampire types, blood suckers. They have superhuman strength, generally hideous to look at. I don't know what that's. I don't think so. I think when we saw them, they looked beautiful. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Angelic almost. Huh. Generally hideous to look at, bearing a necrotic black or blue color, or associated with a reek or decay. They are death blue. I love that. Some of the other, so they have magical abilities. They resembled witches, wizards. They're shapeshifters. They could also like dig into the ground and like disappear into the ground so that they could like escape their, you know, whoever. I don't know how do you kill these things? I don't even remember. But
yeah.
So they apparently, so this says the undead Vigra Hagru exhibited the ability to sink into the ground to escape from Alofar Hogsuxen the peacock.
Nice.
This is real stuff, right? So, but anyway, I just thought it was interesting that they are, so these are some of the horror stories and the haunted tales that the Vikings would tell each other had it went back to these scary characters, the Draugrs.
Hmm.
They're apparently also greedy, bloodthirsty, they have evil eyes, and they love annihilation.
Annihilation.
That's their characteristics include. So, yeah.
I like it.
That whole, it gets into the whole of Howl Barrow, but they're basically, they're similar beings basically that are back in the old Norse. So that gets a little, that gets confusing because they use words that we're not really familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
So, but apparently J.R.R. Tolkien used some of those things in his stories. I'm not familiar with that though.
I've got The Clerk of Oxford.
Mm.
It's a Viking ghost story back from October of 2012. There are several varieties of ghost in Old Norse literature, but one common type is the dead person who goes on living within their burial mound, sometimes wandering out to cause trouble for the neighborhood, but mostly just dwelling there and doing whatever it ghosts do, or whatever it is that ghosts do, often singing. In one particularly unforgettable scene in Njál's saga, two characters are walking past the burial mound of Gunnar, one of Saga's heroes. The moon is shining brightly with clouds blowing across it now and then, and all of a sudden they see the mound is open and the dead man, Gunnar, has turned onto his side and is looking at the moon. He looks very joyful, the saga says, but he sings a verse which persuades the other characters they have to avenge his death.
Mm.
It's a Viking story.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's a very long story past that, but I don't want to get into it. Plus, it turns into a song, and I'm not going to sing a Norse song that half the words I can't pronounce. Yeah, it's a mini, exactly.
There you go. I found a Viking ghost of Tynemouth Castle.
Oh, do tell.
So the Tynemouth Castle in Priory are strategically located on the headland along the North Sea and the River Tyne. The castle, built during the 14th century, has been referenced throughout history from the time of William the Conqueror to World War II, when the castle grounds were home to English gun batteries protecting the coastline. Residing within the castle is Tynemouth Priory. It served a role in many key events throughout the history. Tynemouth Priority. Jeez.
Priority.
Yeah, whatever it is. Also served as the burial place for notable individuals, including Saint Oswin, King of Deira, and King Malcolm III of Scotland. However, King Malcolm's body was moved to Dunfermline Abbey in Scotland. Our story dates back to the days of the Vikings. Long ago, the Vikings launched a raid of the area. A wounded Viking named Olaf was accepted as a resident of Tynemouth Priory by the monks. Olaf, who was nursed back to health, joined their monastery. As fate would have it, the Vikings return to the same area to launch another raid. This time, Olaf's brother was among those killed. It is said Olaf was so grief-stricken by the death of his brother that he died while praying in the chapel.
Ah.
Olaf's ghost has often been seen wandering the castle's grounds, looking out onto the sea on lovely, breezy days when the wind comes in off the water.
Whoa.
Now that is a story.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
I do too. Good job. I'm glad you got that one.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Man, that was some hard words there.
Oh, yeah.
Sean, what do you got?
How Viking ghosts from the First Battle of Britain still haunt Bloody Corner. Do you like the sound of Bloody Corner?
You had me at Bloody Corner.
Right. Visitors to North Devon beaches claim on clear nights they can hear battle noises and shadows of fighting men as the Bloody Corner battle haunts Appledore. Viking raids were a great threat to Devon villages during the reign of Alfred the Great. Ancient records of Northam exist from around the 10th and 11th century, and they retell the story of the battle with Hub of the Dane, that sounds really made up, at Bloody Corner in the late 9th century. Tradition says he landed at what is now Boathide, meaning a cove, with a fleet of more than ships and marched to attack the hill fort at Kenwith. The legend is that they were defeated by Odin, Earl of Devon, a thousand of his men were said to have been killed. The men were buried at Bunhill was the old name for the burial ground, and Hubba, these days are hilarious, and Hubba was buried in a cairn in the area known now as Hubbastone. There is a... Maybe it's Hoobastone. I don't know. Hoobastank.
Hoobastank.
Right? Exactly. There is a stone tablet at Bloody Corner in Northam, erected by Charles Chapel, which reads, "Stop, stranger, stop." Near this spot lies buried King Hubba the Dane, who was slain in a bloody retreat by King Alfred the Great. But in 2008, the best-selling author of the Horrible Histories books claimed to have discovered the long-lost site of the ancient Battle of Cynwit, a bloody clash which saved England from the Vikings. This says, let's see, hero, Barnstaple, Pincher, 90, single-handedly stopped, Shop Croc is walking, I have no idea what they're talking about. So Nick Arnold, author of the children's book series, says he has solved a 1,200-year mystery and located the site of one of the most important conflicts in Britain. The famous battle in 878 saw the rampaging Viking armies overrunning the country, except for Devon and Cornwall. England's ruler, King Alfred the Great, had gone into hiding, and the last of the Saxon soldiers took refuge in a fortress named Cynwit. The stronghold was surrounded and besieged by 1,200 strong Viking force, but according to historical records, the English made a final charge. In a last-ditch act of defiance, the remaining English stormed from the fortress and overcame their invaders, banishing them from the country forever. The clash has been dubbed the First Battle of Britain, but the site of the fortress became lost, and all attempts to definitely identify it have failed. For 300 years, historians have speculated its location, but this Nick guy claims they were looking in the wrong place and says he's located the remains of the fort and battlefield at Castle Hill near Befford or whatever. So interesting thing is that there is, especially around England, but a lot of these hot spots where the Vikings were at, they would talk about like seeing these Viking ships still trying to attack to this day. There was a guy that said that his grandfather would tell him stories of when he was a child that he would hear ships and the clunking of them coming ashore and men in their battle garb coming, and he would be scared to death thinking, who's attacking? Mm-hmm. And there would be nobody around, and his ancestors or whatever, his parents or grandparents would say, "Oh, that's just the Viking ghosts." And I thought those were really interesting. There were several of those kind where they would just say it was just like another ghost story, but it was very real to them. Don't worry about that. But I thought that was really cool. So much history behind all that.
I've got the origins of Viking ghost beliefs. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Norse mythology, with its rich pantheon of gods, goddesses, and supernatural beings, greatly influenced Viking beliefs about the afterlife and spirits. Vikings believed that the soul could linger after death, taking different forms depending on how the person lived and died. In Norse lore, the afterlife was a complex affair. Brave warriors hoped to reach Valhalla, the Hall of the Slain, while those who died of illness or old age went to Helheim. But some souls didn't find peace in either place, becoming restless spirits known as the Draugr. Those ghosts often had unfinished business or had led particularly malevolent lives. Mm. Man, I tell you. So there you go. You got three. Valhalla, Helheim, and the Draugr. There you go.
That's quite a combo, right?
That's kind of the origins.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the most, like, so origin. Obviously Marvel used this in the Thor stuff, you know, and it does go back into Norse mythology, but the idea of Ragnarok, which is like the Norse Armageddon, you know, the way that the world was going to be destroyed. But so I always love that too. And just the pictures of it are really cool. In Norse mythology, Ragnarok is a foretold series of impending events, including a great battle in which numerous great Norse mythological figures will perish, including the gods Odin, Thor, Tyr, Fiery, Heimdall, and Loki, which I'm sure I said some of those wrong. It will entail a catastrophic series of natural disasters, including the burning of the world, and culminate in the submersion of the world underwater, which is kind of interesting because you don't think of it that way. You think more of a destruction by fire. Right? Mm-hmm. After these events, the world will rise again, cleansed and fertile, and the surviving and returning gods will meet, and the world will be repopulated by two human survivors, Leif and Leif Brasir. Again, I may be not saying that correctly. Ragnarok is an important event in Norse mythology and has been the subject of scholarly discourse and theory in the history of Germanic studies. And again, like I said, it's been brought into Hollywood and comic books and stories and all kind of stuff. So, but it is really interesting.
This was a good episode.
Mm-hmm. You like this?
I liked it. Like yeah. I said, when I heard Haunted Vikings, I thought, how's that going to work out? Haunted Vikings. But hey, I take it back. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of information, lots of history. So that was cool.
There was one other one that I wanted to at least mention.
Sure.
This is interesting, but he's an old, like he kept coming up when I was looking for stuff, and it's Thorolf Haltfoot. And he is just an old, like, spook character in the folklore there. So Thorolf Haltfoot is a central character in the Icelandic medieval saga, something I can't pronounce. He was a powerful chieftain who lived in the 10th century, and his story is marked by tragedy, violence, and supernatural events. According to the saga, Thorolf was a fierce warrior and respected leader, but his death was brutal and unjust. After his passing, his spirit did not rest. Instead, he became a Draugr, a type of undead Viking ghost, and began to haunt the lands around Pornus, I guess. As a Draugr, Thorolf was said to be a terrifying presence, causing livestock to go mad and die, and even attacking humans who ventured too close to his grave. His ghostly form was so feared that people avoided traveling at night, and his presence was blamed for the death of a herdsman who was found dead near his grave, with every bone in his body broken. Despite his malevolent reputation, Thorolf's story is also one of tragedy and loss. His son, Arnkel was deeply affected by his father's death and the subsequent haunting. Arnkel eventually buried Thorolf's remains on a hillside surrounded by a stone wall to prevent his father's spirit from escaping. However, Thorolf's ghostly activities continued, and his presence was felt throughout the region. He was said to appear at his old homestead, causing trouble and terrorizing the inhabitants. Eventually, his spirit was laid to rest once more, but not before he had claimed the lives of several people. It says Thorolf Haltfoot's, isn't that a great name, story serves as a cautionary tale about the consequences of violence and injustice, as well as the enduring power of Viking mythology and folklore. His legacy continues to captivate readers and listeners to this day, offering a glimpse into the darker side of medieval Icelandic culture.
Hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was a good way to capstone everything.
I agree.
The saga is Yuri by Bigja. It's Eyrbyggja. Like, could you pronounce
we'll go it? With that.
Right? Yeah.
We'll go with that.
Phonics worked for, or Hooked on Phonics worked for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll take whatever you say. I don't know. I'm glad you got it.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Well, good. That was a good way to end it. Nate?
Yes.
How about you officially helping us end it?
Sort of a Thor subject, so. That's a wrap.
Thank you, Nate. That was really excellent. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to our Middle-Aged Mini 178 and our discussion on Haunted Vikings. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
See you.